If you need prayer, I put this slide up here and trying something a little bit different to make this as effective as possible. If you need prayer, that's my cell phone number. That's also the church number. You can text that and we will put you on the prayer chain. Also, at Antiquity Baptist is our Facebook address. You can contact us on our Facebook site. Okay, turning to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. My goal is to make this last about a half an hour tonight total. So let's get into it. And I'd like to make Sundays last that long too. That's about all we can take in a situation like this. The book of Daniel chapter 2, verse number 14. And I hope you have your Bible. I hope you open it with me. I'll put some scriptures up. But there's nothing like an open Bible there, maybe at your kitchen table or at your couch. The title of our study tonight is The Dream Revealed to Daniel. We'll try to cover verses 14 down to verse 23. The last time old Nebuchadnezzar had had it with his so-called wise men, and he issued a warrant for their arrest and execution. This included Daniel and his companions. If you notice in verse number 13, the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. That included Daniel and then his friends in verse 17, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. I want to read as we get started a quote from C.I. Scofield. This is from the Scofield Reference Bible. We're studying through the book of Daniel as an introduction to New Testament prophecy. We'd like to study this book and then study the book of Revelation. I quote from Scofield, "Daniel is the indispensable introduction to New Testament prophecy, the themes of which are the apostasy of the church, the manifestation of the man of sin, the great tribulation, the return of the Lord, the resurrections and the judgments. These, except for the first, are Daniel's themes also." So all of those New Testament themes are found in the book of Daniel, an indispensable introduction to the New Testament prophecy. Well, in verse number 14, Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch. Arioch came as the executioner. He was the captain of the king's guard. And Daniel answers him with discretion. Apparently, Daniel wasn't with the wise men speaking with the king. But Daniel had a lot of wisdom. He answers him with counsel and with wisdom unto Arioch, the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. This is the kind of wisdom that God's children need. Daniel answered with a soft answer. And the Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We need to pray for the wisdom of Daniel in answering life's difficulties and the things that come into our life. And here's the thing, is that Daniel's heart was evidently prepared. Daniel was a man who loved the Word of God, and he loved prayer. He loved the prophecies and heeded to the prophecies that were going out by men like Jeremiah and Ezekiel during his day. And Daniel's heart was prepared to give this answer this day. His heart was prepared, his spirit was prepared to answer with discretion, with counsel and wisdom. Someone has said that the heart is the well of the mouth, and the mouth is the conduit of the well. You remember the old days when you'd go out to the well? I remember when I was a kid, we still had working pumps, and you'd go out to the well and you'd pump that, and then you put your bucket underneath the spigot, and then you draw that water out of the well through the conduit. Well, the mouth is the conduit of the well. You will draw out what is in your well when it's time for your mouth to open up and to speak. Listen to this. A polluted heart produces polluted words. A hard heart produces harsh words. Daniel had gracious words. He had a soft answer when the executioner came to him and confronted him. He had a soft answer that turned away wrath, and he answered with counsel and with wisdom. In verse number 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" And then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Arioch, apparently, like Daniel, the Lord had given Daniel favor in the sight of these men that he had around him. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. And Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to his companions. You know, this kind of wisdom that Daniel had in answering this matter and in buying some time, he said to the king in verse 16, "Give me some time." Daniel evidently wanted to go away and pray about this thing, because Daniel was the kind of man where he didn't do anything unless he prayed first. This kind of wisdom that Daniel had, this is the kind of wisdom that we need for the time that we live in today. These are difficult days. These are confusing days. These are troublesome days. And we need this kind of wisdom. You say, where are you going to get that kind of wisdom from? Well, have you ever tried reading a proverb a day? The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. And that's a chapter for each day of the month, for even the longest month of 31 days. And we can read in the book of Proverbs and find oftentimes the wisdom that we need. The proverb for today, Proverbs chapter 4, there at the end it says that out of the heart are the issues of life. And there's a lot of wisdom in the Bible. And so we find wisdom for the day. We find what we need, and oftentimes just in our daily Bible reading, we'll find what we need to meet whatever's going to come for us that day and whatever's going to be put on our plate or be put in front of us. And so it's really important for a child of God to have a daily time of prayer and a daily time of devotion in the Word of God and have some systematic way of going through the Word of God. So Daniel had that wisdom. That wisdom came from God. The book of wisdom in the Bible is the book of Proverbs, and that's a great place for us to find our wisdom. Well, let's pick up here in verse number 17. Then Daniel went to his house, and he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. You know what he did when Daniel was presented with a problem? I mean, a real trying time in his life. I mean, his life was on the line. He was being threatened to be taken out and executed, living in a strange land. What did he do? He got his friends together for a prayer meeting. And that's what we need to do. We need to get in the habit of doing this. We need to get in the habit of being like Daniel and praying like Daniel. When hard times come, when troubles come into our life, what should we do? We should call our family or our friends together and call them together for a prayer meeting. Get your family together and say, "Hey, we need to call a special season of prayer for our family. We need to gather together and get them and sit them down and tell them what's going on so that they can pray effectively." If a scripture comes to mind, or maybe a family member in the room says, "You know, that brings a certain scripture to my mind. Maybe the Holy Spirit has brought that to light for you." Get the Bible out. Read some scriptures that apply to it, that give you wisdom, that show you how to pray. Oftentimes praying scripture and claiming the promises of God and just giving God's word back to Him and saying, "Lord, you said," and we're trusting this promise. We're claiming this promise. But calling family together, call your friends together if you're away from home and say, "We need to have a special season of prayer, a special prayer time." And folks, we ought to be praying right now for our country. I know that on many of your minds is the election and the results of that, and I haven't forgot about that. And I've been thinking about that myself, and I got out and I cast my vote, and I'm active in that way. But do you know that the Bible tells us to pray for our government? And if you're concerned about our country, about which way that this election is going to go, call your family together, call your friends together, call those that you're on Facebook with or Instagram that are you're going back and forth and talking about different political things and aspects of the election. Get them together and say, let's have a time of prayer. It's very biblical. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, don't forget that part, be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Notice he says, I exhort, I'm urging you, I'm encouraging you that first of all, this ought to be on the very top of our prayer list, to pray for our land, to pray for the peace of our land, and to seek the peace of our land, because we need it right now, don't we? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Do you want to know something that you can do that God said is good and acceptable? When God looks down and sees you doing it, He'll be smiling and say, that's my child. Praying for your leaders, praying for the peace of your land. Who will have all men to be saved. Even that political opponent that you don't like. Even that man. He'll have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Amen. So we should call our family together for special seasons of prayer. It might be when some kind of diagnosis is given that's unexpected. It might be the loss of a job. It might be an accident. I don't know what it might be. It might be the a divorce or something like that, or someone's in the hospital. At that time, call your friends together. Call your family together for a special season of prayer. I'm going back to Daniel now. And Daniel chapter 2. In verse number 18, this is what they prayed for. He says that they would desire mercies of God. So Daniel went to his house. He made the thing known to his friends, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. Daniel said, listen, this is what we need to pray for. Let's pray that God would be merciful to us, that the God of heaven would reveal to me this secret, because Daniel needed to know what the king's dream was. So Daniel was putting God on the spot, and God was going to come through. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. Praise the Lord, God came through. God revealed the secret to Daniel. This is something that was not previously known, but is now made known to him. In verse number 19, it was revealed in a night vision. Daniel was asleep, and the Lord appeared to him at night, like the Lord did to so many of his people. And we think of the way that the Lord appeared to Jacob in a dream at night when he was laying on a stone for a pillow, and the Lord gave him that great vision about the ladder. And the ladder, I believe, pictures the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the angels ascending and descending. And the only way to ascend to heaven is by way of that great ladder, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And it's not that we're taking one step at a time trying to work our way all the way up to the gates of heaven. It's just that that's the only way to go up there. That ladder is the cross, and we're trusting not in our own meritorious works, but in the meritorious works of Jesus Christ, atoning for and paying for our sins. His blood was shed for our sins, and by Him all who believe are justified from all things. Jesus said to that man on the cross that was hanging beside Him, the penitent thief, He said to him, He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. When the man said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. What did he have to do to get to heaven? He just had to look to Jesus on that cross like a ladder to heaven and say, Lord, and trust in him. And Jesus said, this day, you're not going to purgatory or anywhere like that. You're going right with me into paradise. And so he blessed the God of heaven, it says, when the secret was revealed in this night vision. Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God. Listen, Daniel's prayer meeting was then called together again and then turned into a praise meeting and a time of testimony and thanksgiving. Somebody said this. Somebody said, turn your worries into prayers. Turn your worries into prayers. And then I say, your prayers will be turned into praises and thanksgiving when you see the hand of God move on your behalf. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. When's the last time you blessed the God of heaven? I suppose if we spent more time counting our blessings, we'd have less time to spend counting our woes. So Daniel in verse number 20 answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Listen to what his blessing sounded like. For wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Don't forget that as you're thinking about the election and all the votes coming down and being counted and all of those things. We're probably going to be waiting a while, it sounds like. Don't forget this, that God is in control over all the affairs of men. In verse number 21, he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. I tell you what, the times and the seasons are changing in this country right now and all over the world. But remember, God's in control. He removeth kings. It's not the voters. It's not the electoral college. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And praise the Lord. Daniel's blessing God and saying, look, this is where my knowledge comes from. This is where my wisdom comes from. This is where my understanding comes from. It comes from God. Now, with prayer requests being answered, as I said, Daniel and his friends are praising God, and they're having a time of praise and testimony. And when your family experiences difficult times, and I hope that you do get together as a family and make it a special time, this is what we're meeting for. We're meeting for prayer and for fellowship and food probably too. But now we're meeting again to say that God has answered prayer, and we are going to meet together to have a special time of testimony and praise and to celebrate and to worship our God. You say, we're supposed to do that in the church. No. We do it here in church, but you do it at home. If you're a man and you're married, then you are the leader, the spiritual head of your marriage. If you have children, now you're a pastor of your home. You pastor your home. You pastor your home before I pastor your home. You're supposed to be a pastor of your home and lead them in family worship. Lead them in family times of prayer and times of praise. So when your family experiences this, have that get together to mark it, to give thanks, to praise God. What I have up here is I have family prayer, and I'm imagining text messages. Maybe you're sending a text to the family group. We need to meet for prayer. There's something that's happened in our family that concerns all of us. Some kind of trouble, some kind of difficulty. We need to meet for prayer. Let's get together in whatever way we can. And then the next text is, God has answered our prayer. Sometime later on down the road, days later, God has answered our prayer. And everybody's happy and praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. And then praise and testimony meal on Friday night. Maybe you get together on a Friday night and you're getting together just to have a time of praise and testimony. And remember, this time here, when we're meeting in prayer, can involve scripture, reading scripture, praying scripture. Now getting together, listening to testimonies, going around the room and talking about what everyone went through during this whole ordeal. What was it like for you? What did God speak to you about? How has your relationship with the Lord changed? How was it deepened? How was it strengthened? How did this fiery trial prove you and deepen you and mature your faith? And then in having a meal and getting together to mark it, to make it special, to give thanks and to praise God and to put God and the Bible at the center of your home or the center of your group of friends. And pray. Let's finish out for tonight. Verse number 22, He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. That is, God knows everything. The darkness can't hide anything from Him. The darkness is just like the light to God. And the light dwelleth with Him. God can shine the light on any situation. He knows exactly what's going on. We're not going to hide anything from Him. Verse number 23, listen to this, thanksgiving. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might. And see, He's given all the glory to God. All the glory goes to God. And hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the King's matter. And I think that's a great place for us to stop. Made known unto us the King's matter. I'm afraid that a lot of times we pray for things and a lot of times we just take God for granted. And you've heard it said, a lot of times we use God maybe like a spare tire and we just get Him out of the trunk whenever we have an emergency. But you know, God delights to run to His children and to take care of them and to come to their aid. But God likes to hear us praise Him and thank Him. Let's not be forgetful when we do get prayers answered to take time to really make it special and make it a time of worship and thanksgiving and giving God the glory, giving God the credit. Now, I wanted to say finally, as we close out our time together tonight, I wanted to recommend this resource to you. It's called MatthewHenry.org, MatthewHenry.org, and hopefully you can see that up there. Matthew Henry wrote a method for prayer nearly 300 years ago. And among the many editions and revisions of this book that have been produced throughout the years, Ligon Duncan edited and revised a version which was published in 1994, and it's updated and easier for us to read. This project has been built off of the efforts invested by Dr. Duncan and others in that publication. You can go to that website and you can read much of it for free and learn how to pray scripture. You can also get signed up for an email list. You can download the ebooks for free or you can buy a printable version. And I've done that and used it and it's been very helpful and it's made my prayer time stronger. I mean, just as you look at this passage right here, just to give you an example of how you can pray scripture, let's say you're getting back together with your family and you're having a special time of testimony and praise, you could take a look at verse 20 and maybe even read this and read about how Daniel praised God after a great answer prayer. And then just in your prayer, you're just kind of ad-libbing off of this verse, but you're using scripture to pray scripture. It's more biblical to pray this way. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And maybe we're praying about the government. And we're praying about those things and your concerns. You could just pray that, God, You remove kings. You set them up. You're God over all the affairs of men, and we trust in You. We pray that You'd have mercy upon our nation, bring peace back to our land, and those kind of things. And just praying scripture, it helps you to say, it's biblical. God wants me to say, I thank You, and I praise You, my God. I praise You. You have given me wisdom, all of these things. And You've made known unto to us these things. So, well, we'll stop our study there tonight. And then next week we'll pick up in verse number 24 with the dream recited to Daniel and then the great vision of the statue. We ought to be able to close out chapter 2 next week and take a look at that statue. And I'm going to try to maybe draw a diagram up on a whiteboard. I'm not sure. But that covers all of the Gentile history all the way up to our present day and then beyond. And God's book is an amazing book because this book is written by a creator God who is outside of time. And it's written from somebody like they're in the future, looking back and talking about the present and the future, talking about it as if it's history or as if it's past. It's an amazing book, and there's nothing like it on the earth, and it's wonderful to study it and to just know that God is in control. No matter what happens with America, God is in control. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time together. I thank you for our church. And Lord, we trust you through all of this. And I know that, Lord, the gates of hell cannot prevail against your church. And this isn't going to stop us.